Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Angie's List, providing reviews on local AC repair, landscapers, doctors, and others based on member experiences at angieslist.com. And
Subaru,
where all vehicles are built in zero landfill plants.
Love, it's what makes a Subaru.
And Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Hey, do they also sell working with your brother insurance?
No.
Well, I'll have to put in a request.
Esurance.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Gone But Not Forgotten department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Or epitaphs. These are, I believe, I mean, this is comes from the internet somewhere, and so you know that this is absolutely true.
Oh, of course.
Precise and accurate. You know that. And this is epitaphs taken from tombstones around the world, I think mostly from England. Here lies Anne Mann. She always said her feet were killing her, but nobody believed her. This one's automotive in nature. Here lies the body of Jonathan Blake, stepped on the gas instead of the brake. I like that. Stepped on the gas instead of the brake. This is the best one here. Sacred to the memory of my husband, John Barnes, who died January 3rd, 1803. His comely young widow, aged 23, has many qualifications of a good wife and yearns to be comforted. My wife is going to put that on
now. Oh, yeah.
Now, this one, I don't know. I mean, you've seen this one before. This claims to be in a cemetery in Georgia. I told them I was sick. I thought that was on the tombstone of Will Rogers.
It may be. Maybe he's buried in Georgia.
Maybe he is. I told him I was sick. That's got to be the best. I'll stop with that one.
Well, anyway, we're not dead yet.
Well, we're dying, though.
Oh, is that what they call
That's what they call it.
And while we're still here, you can ask us a question about your car, because we could go any day now.
Well, hey, we could go in the next hour.
Yeah.
And then what?
We've had a few shows where they wanted to kill us. Anyway, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
Would they play organ music?
What, right during the show?
I mean, if we just keeled over right now, what would Tad do? I mean, he's the engineer.
I think he'd run a tape from last week's
he
show,
He would probably
actually.
Play, It Only Works. The number is two.
Oh, endless loop over
endless
and over
loop.
Again.
All right, so what do we do now?
I don't know. We're going to answer questions. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Charlene calling from Cambridge, Mass.
Hi, Charlene.
Where in Cambridge, Mass?
Kirkland Street, behind Harvard Yard.
I know exactly where it is.
Harvard Yard.
Yes.
What's up, Charlene?
I'm calling because I have an 88 Volvo 240 that's leaking power steering fluid. And It's an old car, and I don't know if I can afford to fix it. So
it
I'm
can't be
can...
leaking just power steering fluid.
No?
No,
Well, that's the one that
that's the
notices leak. Now.
That's the predominant leak.
Okay.
What do you mean you can't fix it? You have to fix it.
I want to fix it myself, though.
You probably can't.
I can't patch it up with duct tape or something?
No.
Well, it depends. It depends where it's leaking. If you're lucky, can you tell where the leak is coming from?
I haven't looked too hard.
By that, you mean you haven't opened the hood?
I have opened the hood to pour in
oh,
more
to add more fluid.
Fluid,
but you haven't
How
gone
often
beyond
do you
that.
Have to add it?
About every 20 minutes of driving.
I would put a 50-gallon drum on the roof with a hose aptly... Oh, man.
Well, there are two places where these old Volvos typically leak power steering fluid from. One is the hoses. There are two hoses that connect from the pump to the rack and pinion. Okay?
Okay.
And if you're lucky, it's one of those hoses. Even though they're expensive, they're relatively easy to you know, refit, as they say.
Yeah.
The other place, and the more likely place, is the rack and pinion itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's... hundreds of dollars just for the part.
And the car isn't worth hundreds of dollars, I would imagine.
Well, it will be when you do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, your alternative is, I guess.
Well,
no, I would. I wouldn't want to recommend it.
No.
The T?
The T. Yeah. I mean, what's your budget like here?
I'm a student, so it's not too good.
You're a Harvard student?
Yes.
Well, what do you need a car for?
That's true.
I mean, you're living right on the campus, practically.
Yeah, you just walk to class.
Good point.
This car was a family member's car?
Yes. Passed down from my 18-year-old brother.
Passed down from your 18-year-old brother who probably drove in the demolition derby on weekends.
Yes.
And so you got it, and the expectation you had with this car is that you would drive it home on significant holidays.
Right.
How about they come and visit you from now on? Where's home, by the way?
Newburyport, not too far.
Oh, no, so you can take
just far enough that you think you might make it.
Right.
But yeah, but at a quart every 20 minutes to Newburyport, let me see, that'd be about 11 and a half gallons to get you home. That might be costly and difficult.
Well, you've got to take it somewhere and let them check out and see where it's actually coming from.
Okay.
Because if it's a hose, you're talking less than $50.
Okay.
Well, not for a Volvo.
All
if it's a Volvo, you're talking less than a couple of hundred. Can you swing a couple of hundred? A
couple of hundred's possible.
All right.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah, how about a couple of hundred a week?
No.
That's what it's going to cost you for the...
Yeah. Well, you can't finance it, you know. Yeah, so, yeah, but you have to get it looked at because it is a possibility. I mean, it's very small, and I don't want to get your hopes up unnecessarily, but there is a possibility that it's a fitting that's loose.
Okay.
You know, these hoses screw on. I mean, it's not that. Rest assured, but it could be.
Could be.
Okay.
And that's how we lure customers into the garage. We say, oh, it's a possibility. It's nothing. Good luck, Charlene.
Thank you.
All right, see you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. Who's this?
Good. This is Dave. I live in South Bend, Indiana.
Hi, Dave.
I've got a 96 Acura Integra. It has 130,000 miles on it. It runs like a top. It's doing great. But it's developed a small, I would say, about the size of a nickel hole in the exhaust system right below the gear shift. And so it sounds like a go-kart going down the street.
Ah.
So you've seen this hole?
I've seen it, yeah. I got underneath there with my dad. We jacked up the car, you know, put it up on blocks, and we tried to patch it with one of those, you know, kits that you buy at the, you know, AutoZone or whatever.
Yeah.
And it lasted for about, 3 miles.
Yeah.
Until it started, you know, the noise started again.
So you just put this gunk in the hole?
Well, you know, actually...
Spread it around?
It was like a sleeve that you put around it, and then the heat from the exhaust is supposed to, you know, bond it.
Cure it.
Right.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So my question is, this car runs really well, and I'd like to keep driving it, but I'm worried... You know, well, one, you know, it's vanity. You know, I sound like, you know, you hear me coming for a mile.
Yeah.
But the second thing is this potentially dangerous for me to keep driving it? Or is there a kind of solution, you know, that's not too costly? Because I don't want to have to buy a whole new exhaust system.
Well, you could probably, this exhaust system, I believe, comes in three pieces. The piece that has the hole in it, if I'm not mistaken.
The front pipe.
I think it's the middle pipe, the B pipe.
Yeah, I would. That's what my dad said it was.
It's the big long one, and then that goes back and hooks up to the muffler, which on this car I think runs transversely. Is that true on this car?
That's right.
Okay. I don't know what that pipe costs, but it's you know, if you went to a discount auto store and got one that didn't fit quite right, you could probably get one for $100 or so. If you want one that fits really well, you might have to buy it from the dealer. We've had problems over the years.
Right, because I took it to a place near my house, and they were quoting it at $1,800.
Oh, really?
And it's a place I've been to before, and I kind of trust them. So I was like, well, I don't know. I'm going to call Car Talk.
No,
That's more than you paid for the car.
I've had it since 96. Bought it new.
Oh, you have. Yeah.
Oh, and so now you feel that this car is on its last legs, because no matter what this is going to cost,
right,
you ain't fixing it.
Yeah, I mean, my wife and I are going to have a baby in November, so we're trying to hold off, you know, until... You know, about October to buy a new car.
Oh, I see. I get the
only
idea.
Danger is, especially with the baby, You can get exhaust fumes coming into the car.
Right.
But you're not going to have the baby in this car.
No. I'm right. The only baby that's going to be in this car.
Right. And if you noticed, for example, an inability lately to do simple math problems, let's give you, let's just see how you are, Dave.
How much is 7
I've
and
never
8?
Been able to do math. I teach English.
All right. How about 147 plus 381 plus 292? Can you do that now? You're done for.
Go fish.
Go fish.
Yeah.
I would try that stuff again.
Is there a product that you would recommend?
Well, other than frozen concentrated orange juice cans, no, not really. But I'll tell you what you can do. If the metal around the hole is not in terribly bad shape, you could have somebody weld a patch.
Ah, okay.
Okay, and that may cost you $100 or $50 or whatever, if in fact the metal surrounding the hole is good enough to weld to.
Okay.
Yeah. And I would tend to do that because those patches, if you put them up close to the engine, almost always fail because the pressure's too high there.
Right.
But a weld will do it.
Okay.
And you might want to, even if the weld isn't perfect, if the hole gets reduced considerably, then you can put that patch stuff on.
Okay.
And
okay.
You can also try, there are many other fine products out there for patching exhaust systems, and you've tried only one of them, Dave.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
There are 10 more you got to try.
Okay.
But if you can go to a muffler shop,
total cost of which will be $1,800.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah, we didn't mention that. By the time you're done,
right.
Yeah, but if you try not necessarily a muffler shop, but a regular repair shop that's willing to take a shot at welding this thing.
Okay.
You know, it might be worth your while to spend $100 to get if you're just trying to get to October with it.
Right,
it'd
right.
It'd be crazy because you may need the whole exhaust system. I bet you that's what they quoted you on.
I think that's probably what it is.
Yeah, that would be unfortunate, but good luck, man.
All right, we'll appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's a lot for an exhaust. It must have included the catalytic converter.
Yeah, and 2.5 boat payments. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lisa from Miramar, Florida.
Hi, Lisa.
Where's that?
Miramar.
It's kind of between Fort Lauderdale and the Everglades.
You have alligators in your backyard?
Yes, we do.
You really do, huh?
Cottonmouth.
Oh, great.
What's a cottonmouth?
A snake.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, well, that's good. The alligators eat them,
so,
though.
I mean, when the crocs come into your backyard...
Gators.
Oh, they're gators.
They're gators.
They're not the same.
Well, if one's biting your leg off, I don't think you'd be too concerned about getting the nomenclature right.
Would they come into your backyard if you were sitting there having a barbecue?
My neighbor told me one time as we were walking along the canal behind our house, he watched the gator kind of tracking right behind us.
Mm. And that didn't bother you too much, huh?
We didn't see him. We heard about it later.
But they wouldn't come into your yard if you were there.
No, I don't think so. And we have dogs. I think they avoid dogs, too, pretty much.
They eat dogs.
Slow dogs.
Oh, small dogs they eat?
Small, slow dogs.
Small, slow dogs,
right.
So you've lived here your whole life?
No, just moved here about a year and a half ago.
And what part of the civilized world did you come from?
I left tarantulas, rattlesnakes, and scorpions in Arizona to come here for cottonmouths and alligators.
Lucky
well, there
you.
Is something to be said, actually, for creatures of this size that are easier to spot.
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's better to see them.
Yeah. So that's, gee, well. That's,
well, thanks for calling, Lisa.
Thanks for being on Wild Kingdom. So what can we do for you, Lisa?
Well, I recently traded in a 15-year-old pickup truck for a new Toyota Prius. And while I'm willing to admit I probably need to take better care of the Prius than I was of my Toyota truck towards the end of its lifespan, my husband says I need to check it every 24 hours for bird droppings. And he maintained at one point that it could start to damage the finish within 2 hours.
Do you have special kinds of birds down there with especially potent?
They have
droppings?
Pterodactyls.
I don't know. I was talking about this with my boss, and he goes, oh, no, it's not the bird droppings. It's the mosquitoes, squashed mosquitoes. That'll ruin the finish of your car. You got to get those off right away, too. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, how are you going to enjoy yourself? You're going to worry about droppings and bugs and all that stuff?
They're so hard to avoid on the highway, the mosquitoes.
Of course. They're impossible to avoid.
Yeah, so it would necessitate you cleaning the car practically every time you drove it.
Pretty much.
That would make you miserable.
Well, my husband said he would take your word on whether it was really necessary to clean the car every 24 hours.
Okay. Then our word is forget about it.
Did you have a carport?
Well, it's in a garage at home, but at work, I've tried all sorts of different places in the parking lot, and I still get bird droppings.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a car. I mean, my philosophy about cars is if you're going to worry about the damn thing every time you drive it, then you're wasting your time.
You should have known something
you
this nice.
You should have known it. Then go back and get the pickup truck again. But because, I mean, the Prius will turn into a pickup truck, and if you have it 15 years from now, it'll look just as bad as the pickup truck did. And so what?
And the sun's going to bake the finish anyway. In spite of your best effort, eventually you're going to have to repaint the thing because it'll be all faded and the finish will be cracked.
But this is not the answer your husband wants.
No.
So the answer we will give you.
No, wait a minute. Does your husband also have a car?
Yes.
Is he as fastidious with his car as he expects you to be with your new Prius?
Yeah, pretty much.
He is,
huh?
Well, that's his business.
That's
my business. Yeah, well, tell him, look, hon, you're already out there. You already got the hip boots on and the bucket and all that to wash the car.
And the shotgun.
Yeah, do mine, too, will you?
Yeah, but he doesn't want this for an answer. He doesn't want to hear that. So here's the answer you got to give him.
Okay.
Tell him we said.
Okay.
Prius has a special invisible covering specifically designed to ward off potent bird droppings.
Ah.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, though, that having the car waxed periodically goes a long way to repelling things like bird droppings and mosquitoes, or if not repelling them, at least protecting the finish from those kinds of damages.
Now, that I'm willing to do. I'm willing to wax it when I wash it.
That's what you do.
Yeah, and after a few years, is his car brand new?
No, his car's 4 or 5 years old, but he's going to trade it in on a Prius, too, because he really liked the Prius.
And his car still looks great?
It looks very good, yes.
Good for him.
Jeez, you know, it's perfect.
It's
hard to deal with. I mean, I know, for example, how difficult it is for my wife to live with me because
he's just such a perfectionist.
Exactly, you know, and it's hard to live with a perfectionist.
But here's a perfect time to do some real research. Tell him when he gets the new Prius that he should do the business with the bird droppings.
And you do nothing.
And you're going to do nothing.
An experiment
and a control.
Excellent.
Exactly.
I love it.
I'm a scientist. He'll buy this.
Ah!
Lucky you.
Lisa, good luck.
Thank you.
Let us know how you make out, though.
Yeah, call us in like 8-9 years and let us know how the cars are doing.
Well, I'll be sure.
Call us every once in a while and give us a little update.
Okay.
See you, Lisa.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, look, it's time for us to take a break.
And when we come back, we'll do what?
Well, apologize for the previous half hour and beg our listeners' forgiveness. Then we'll plow on and answer some more questions about cars, naturally.
That's it. Get right back on the horse.
I call the front end. And look, we'll be back with more of your calls in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
Yesterday we're pumping gas at my local filling station. Seeing those record-breaking prices was awful irritating. Before filling my tank, it's almost a situation that I need to fill out some kind of loan application. I know you know what I mean. It's the price of gasoline.
Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
WeatherTech, maker of floor mats and floor liners to protect a vehicle's interior from dirt, mud, and sand. Learn more at weathertech.com or 1-800-CAR-MATS. And
Sit for Less,
featuring the Zodi chair and the Very Task chair by Hayworth.
Online at sitforless.com.
And Tire Rack, offering more than 500 tire models from 17 manufacturers. Learn more at TireRack.com.
And even though the good humor man heaves a box of frozen strawberry shortcakes at his radio whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members and Tennessee Oncology, advancing the science of cancer care through the development of innovative treatments and clinical trial participation through a partnership with the Sarah Cannon Research Institute. Learn more online at tnoncology.com.
1977, bands like the Ramones, Talking Heads, and Television made New York's Lower East Side ground zero for American punk. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Koch. In part two of our series on 1977, The Year Punk Broke, we take a look at punk stateside with music writer Ira Robbins. That's this week on Sound Opinions.
Sundays at 7 p.m.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, here to talk about cars, car repair, and not the answer to last week's puzzler.
No. Even I remember that there was no puzzler last week.
Therefore, there's no what?
No answer.
No answer. That's exactly right.
Impeccable logic. That's good,
thank
Frank.
Thank you. But look, if you stay tuned, we'll tell you where you can find a Car Talk puzzler this week. In the meantime, if you have a question about your car, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Yeah, hi, this is Ron from Salt Lake City.
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're great. What's going on? How can we help you?
Well, I've got a 2001 Ford Ranger pickup truck.
Yep.
It's got about 50,000 miles on it, four-wheel drive. And when I start it up in the morning, it sounds like there's a bunch of baby birds underneath the hood. There's like some chirping noises.
For how long?
A couple of minutes, and then it kind of fades away. But it does it every morning.
Well, have you ever jumped out and lifted up the hood so you can tell where it's coming from?
And if you did that, would you have noticed birds flying away?
No, I have done that, but there were no birds. But it's coming from, like, the right side of the engine somewhere, and it's just this little, you know, peeping, chirping-type noises, and
yeah.
I have no clue.
Well, it's probably, you said this was an 01?
Yeah.
And you got about 65,000 miles on it?
50, pay attention, will you?
I had written that down, in fact. I was just trying to see if Ron had his back straight.
Well, I don't think it's birds because, you know, I park it in the garage and, you know, so.
It's rarely birds.
On occasion it has been birds. That's why we can't just dismiss it out of hand. But I think that in this case it's a belt.
A belt?
Yeah. Chirping is almost always related to a belt.
Okay.
Now, it could be that there's a bearing going bad. For example, chirping can come from a water pump whose bearings are beginning to go bad.
Air conditioning compressor.
Or an alternator, and those are two famous sources of chirping. Or a bird. The alternator noise and the water pump noise could go away when the thing warmed up a little bit.
Yeah.
But so, too, would it go away if it was a dried and cracked belt.
Okay.
And your Ranger, I believe, has one big fat belt that runs everything.
One gigantic belt.
Right, yep. And it's called a serpentine belt. And because it's flat, you can't add any of those chemicals. Back in the old days, we used to drizzle something called Belties onto the belts, and it would soften up the rubber, but you can't do that with these belts.
Yeah, okay.
And you've probably never replaced that serpentine belt, have you?
You know what? It was replaced about a year ago when my alternator went out.
Oh. Here's what you do.
Oh, now I'm rethinking it. I think the alternator they put in is no good.
Here's what I would do.
I'd rather have birds.
I would too.
Yeah. Go down to your local parts store and buy about a foot of hose.
Just like garden hose?
No. You know, you want something called vacuum hose.
Oh, okay, vacuum hose.
Yeah. You know, it's probably got an inside diameter of a quarter of an inch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And an outside diameter of, you know, a half an inch.
And you're going to use this piece of hose as a stethoscope.
Okay.
So open the hood first and get someone to start the truck.
Okay.
And then you stick one end of the hose in your ear. And you carefully, without getting your fingers chopped off by anything, like a fan or belts, put it next to the alternator, listen, put it next to the air conditioner compressor, put it near the water pump, that's where you're going to chop your fingers off.
And you'll conclude, Ron, when you've done this, that all four things need to be replaced.
Yeah.
So then you can go back to
those
the auto
three
parts store.
Plus the belt.
Right, you buy a belt, a water pump, an alternator. But I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if it's the belt, especially if they put the wrong belt on there.
Yeah.
Because the belt is tensioned by a spring-loaded tensioner. And if the belt that's on there was a little bit too long, it would work until it started to wear out, and then it would start to chirp.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I think it is.
All right,
yeah,
I'll
but
try it
I
out.
Wouldn't worry about it if I were
not
you.
To worry. I'm relieved that it's not birds.
Okay, yeah. I thought I was going to have to buy a cat or something.
No,
no. Anyway, I'll get rid of it.
I'm pretty confident that it's the belt.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
See you, Ron.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Who's this?
This is Yvette. I'm calling from El Paso, Texas.
Yvette?
Yvette.
Spelled the proper way, Y-V-E-T-T-E?
Yes.
Wonderful.
From El Paso.
El Paso.
So what's up?
My husband and I just bought a brand new Mazda 3, and he says that I cannot drive it over 60 miles an hour until we hit 1,000 miles. And I think that is so not true. I think that's an old wives' tale, isn't it?
Oh, well, he may well have done an unthinkable thing.
What's that?
He may have read the owner's manual.
Oh, no.
And it may, in fact, say just that.
Yeah, and it's not common for anyone to have done this. But this may be the first new car he's ever bought, is it?
Yes.
He read it.
In fact, not only did he read it, he'll be able to tell you what page he read it on.
Yeah. And it's very likely that he's correct.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to wait 1,000 miles?
Well, how many miles have you driven it so far?
We bought it with 20, and it has like 57 miles. I don't want to drive it. I'm scared.
Well,
I'm paranoid about going over 60. I'm afraid the engine's going to fall out.
Well, it isn't going to fall out, but the reason they want you, and it's very likely that this is in the owner's manual, although he may have learned it from some nutcases that he heard on the radio. Oh, that could be us.
Yeah.
In fact, most manufacturers and we used to recommend for the first 1,000 miles that not only do you keep it below 60, that you avoid driving it
at the same speed.
At the same speed or at sustained high speed for more than a few hours at a time. So the last thing you want to do, for example, is in the very heat of the day, like you get in El Paso on every day, you would want to avoid getting in and driving across the breadth of Texas, even if you were going at 59 miles an hour. Because
so,
would have detrimental effects and shorten the life of the engine, ultimately.
Why is this of such difficulty for you?
Because I don't want to drive under 60. I have to take the highway to work every day.
And everyone drives at 80, right?
And yes. So I'm the old lady on the slow lane. Everybody's passing and honking at me.
Oh, and the problem is you're not old enough to be driving like an old lady.
That's right.
Here's what you do.
Let
you
him
buy a blue wig.
And you just leave it in the car. You put it on when you get in the car, and you'll feel right at home.
Get a blue wig and a hat. Right?
I have to wait.
Now,
really?
The truth be known, most car engines are pretty broken in at the factory, you know, and they really don't require any kind of serious break-in like cars of yesteryear did. And Mazda is certainly one of those that is, you know, ready to wear, so to speak. So you could just get in it and drive it, but we would advise you not to drive it over 60 or not to drive it more than a couple of hours at a time without letting it cool off, especially in real hot weather. Because your husband wants to keep it forever, right?
Have you confronted your husband with this issue?
Yes. I told him, no way, 1,000 miles. That wasn't way too much.
Oh, you didn't ask him anything. You told him.
He told me you cannot drive over 60 miles an hour.
And what did he cite as his source? Wasn't us, I hope.
I don't know. It's just common knowledge.
Yeah.
Everybody should know this.
Well, you have the car, right?
Oh, so he didn't say to you it's in the book?
No.
Well, check the book. He may be wrong.
You know, hide the book. if I would say this. If he can show you in the book where it says it,
okay,
then you're going to have to go for it.
Okay.
If, on the other hand, the book doesn't say anything about it, then I think you're perfectly entitled to tell him to drop dead. See you later.
Thank you so much.
Don't drive like my brother. Remember that.
I won't.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi. This is Brian Lee. I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
D.C. What's going on, Brian?
I have a 96 Honda Civic, and about a week ago, my right blinker started blinking twice as fast as it usually blinks.
Yeah.
But it's only my right blinker. My left blinker is still blinking at its normal rate. And I was wondering what was going on and if there was something I could do to fix this problem myself.
Well, do you think you'd like to get the left blinker to go that fast, or you?
how would you like to fix it?
Well, I'd like to make it blink normal again, because when the right blinker is going really fast, it makes me a little anxious, and I get this urge to turn right really fast.
To get it over with, exactly. So you haven't been at all curious as to how the lights are affected by this rapid blinking of the interior indicator?
Oh, well, you know, when this started happening a week ago, I checked the exterior lights, and they seem to be blinking, you know, I guess at the same rate the lights are blinking. Well, I guess I haven't really studied that too much, but the blinkers actually work.
Well, they do, except you have a bulb blown out someplace.
Okay? Oh, I do.
You do.
Yeah, but you should have noticed that if you walked around the car with the blinkers on.
Well, if you turned just the right blinker on, you might not have noticed, because there may be more than one bulb. There's just one bulb in the back and one in the front. Okay, so you should have noticed that there's a bulb not blinking, but the only way you'd notice that is if you turn the left side on, which is working properly. So turn the left blinker on, and you'll hear blink, a blink, a blink, a blink, and you'll walk around, and you'll see the lights that are supposed to be flashing are flashing, because that's working correctly. And then when you turn the right side on, you'll say, oh, this one isn't flashing.
Okay.
And the reason it blinks fast is because that little flasher unit is basically reading the resistance of the circuit, and it's, you know, because there's a bulb out, it's not getting the right resistance, and it's going faster.
Well, that's a relief, because I thought maybe there was some huge, you know, electrical thing that,
no,
you know, something was wrong.
Well, we did consider goofing on you a little bit, but you sounded like too nice a guy, so we let it go. But you've got a bulb out. It's that simple.
Okay, well, thanks.
All right, Brian. See you later, man.
Good luck.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ann from Bend, Oregon.
Ann, with an E at the end?
How clever of you. Yes, that's the correct spelling.
50-50 chance.
Yeah.
Bend, Oregon.
It's Ben from and Oregon.
That's right.
All right, Ann.
Say Oregon again.
Oregon.
There you go.
We Easterners say Oregon.
I know you do.
Is that all right? I mean, how offensive is that?
Well, it's just annoying.
Say Oregon.
Yeah, it's like Oregon.
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 Yeah. But,
okay, we got it.
But they called it the Oregon Trail when we were in school,
they
right?
Did.
That's correct.
Oregon Trail.
Oregon. The Oregon Trail. All right, Ann.
What's up?
Well, in my community, I'm probably the only non-AARP member who drives a Buick Park Avenue.
Oh.
Are you close to being an AARP member?
Well, yeah, maybe, but not that close. And I've been driving. This is my second Buick Park Avenue. I've had two now, and when I first sat in the Buick and my tush hit the seat, it went, oh, yeah. You know?
Well, you know, there are certain kinds of connections like that.
Yeah, that's great.
But the problem is, in Bend, Oregon, we're at a pretty high elevation. We have pretty rough winters, had a really rough winter last year, so I'm reconsidering an SUV. I need your help, because I don't want to go drive 14 or 15 SUVs. What will give me the same comfort, the same awe for my tush?
Wait a minute.
So you want something, you want an all-wheel drive?
Yeah.
Why do you want an SUV?
Well, I just want all-wheel drive.
Okay. You want all-wheel drive.
Okay.
You want all-wheel drive.
And that's not a bad thing.
And there are vehicles that are called SUVs that aren't really, I mean, there are Lincoln Navigators, and then there are Subarus, and you can't put them in the same class.
Right.
No.
You know, I mean, we certainly wouldn't have any problem with you buying a Subaru or a Toyota Matrix if those are called SUVs or a RAV4.
Yeah.
But if you want that tush comfort.
Yeah. I want the heated seats.
Is money an object?
Well, you know, I don't generally buy new cars, so I'd probably be looking at a fairly new used.
Fairly new used.
Yeah, so we're looking, you know, 20-25 thousand.
But how many years have you been driving the Park Avenue, by the way?
Well, I've had two, and this is a 99, and so I think probably about 8 or 9 years. I've had two of them.
Yeah,
and you lived in Oregon, Oregon? Notice how I said that?
Yeah, you said that well. Yes, I've lived here, and so I don't know, maybe I should just invest in a good pair of snow tires.
Well, I mean,
if you've gotten by with front-wheel drive, which is what your Park Avenues are.
Yeah.
There's no reason for you to necessarily, you feel somehow imperiled, endangered?
I guess I was just feeling like maybe I need all-wheel drive. Maybe I don't.
Maybe you don't. I mean, how old are your tires?
Actually, I just put new tires on last year.
Ah.
I mean, new tires can make a world of difference.
Yeah.
And snow tires can make a world of difference in the winter. You know, so you could get four snow tires in the winter.
And that's cheaper than buying a car.
Yeah. Lots cheaper than buying a car.
And then your tush could be with the Park Avenue.
Yeah.
Sure. Or you could go out and buy a new Buick Lucerne.
Ooh.
Yeah, and you can spend anywhere between $30,000 up to $50,000 for that thing, depending upon, you know, what engine you get.
Is that front wheel drive also?
Mm-hmm. You might take a look at that. Or you can keep the Park Avenue, but I wouldn't. Don't forget, if you don't really need all-wheel drive, you buy all-wheel drive, and I always get a kick out of people in Southern California who buy all-wheel drive, or in Florida. What the heck are you doing with an all-wheel drive vehicle in Florida? Was it to get away from the gators? You know, people don't need it, so there's no
sense. They were talked into something by someone.
By someone, probably one of those sleazeball car salesmen. or us. No, but when you buy an all-wheel drive vehicle, you add a level of complication to repair and diagnostics and service, which adds up to a lot of money over the life of the car.
Yeah.
Every time you drive, you're wearing out stuff that you didn't have to have in the first place.
Oh.
Now, purists will say, oh, you know, the all-wheel drive vehicles, they're balanced better because there's weight in the back and the center of gravity's closer.
Yeah,
shut up. But for the average, for the average driver, that's baloney. That makes no difference whatsoever.
Yeah.
Stick with your Park Avenue.
I would buy four snows.
I'd buy a Lucerne.
And four snows.
Do you have a butt warmer thing in your Park Avenue?
Yeah.
Well, the Lucerne has that, too.
I
think the Lucerne has butt coolers. You don't have that.
Well, no, I don't have that. And that would be really, that would be one step up.
Yeah, but there's nothing like showing up for work with a sweaty butt. You know, if you can go into a big, important, meeting, cooled off, it really makes a bit. I know it's changed my life. Anyway, Ann, look at the Lucerne, and I think you may fall in love again.
Well, thank you.
Well, at least your butt may fall in love again.
Yeah, my butt will be happy.
see you later.
Good
thanks,
luck, guys.
Thanks for your
Take
call.
Care, bye.
All right, look, we have to take a short break now.
And when we come back, we'll have what?
A seminar on the geometry of bacteria. What do you think we're going to have, you dope? We're going to have answers to our listeners' car problems.
I'm just checking. You never know.
Oh, it's true. You don't ever know. Well, please stay tuned. We'll be back with your car questions and some answers, we hope, in just a minute.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
the Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment, supporting strategic communications and collaboration to address the world's pressing environmental problems,
and the Skoll Foundation,
supporting social entrepreneurs and their innovations to solve the world's most pressing problems
at skoll.org,
and the Pew Charitable Trusts, working to ensure a wilderness legacy for future generations at pewtrust.org.
And even though the Cambridge Wildlife Department decides to relocate a flock of Canada geese to our front lawns whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members, from the Bridgestone Americas Trust Fund, the charitable arm of Bridgestone Americas, whose nearly 5,000 teammates in the state of Tennessee share a passion for excellence. And support comes from the Ryman Auditorium, presenting Dead Can Dance, reuniting for the first time in 7 years to play the Ryman on September 4th. Tickets are available at the Ryman box office or online at ryman.com.
Right at this very moment, you, sitting in your chair right there, could have in your gut, little worms.
Very tiny worms.
Right in the belly.
The size of a little hair.
Sitting there.
Incubating, waiting.
Chewing on the inside of your intestines.
Oh my goodness, it can crawl.
Are you really that scared of a little worm?
Parasites.
Parasites?
Are they evil or are they awesome?
Next time on Radiolab.
Sunday night at 8 o'clock. Alive Hospice presents their third annual Faith Leaders Conference, September 6th, 10 a.m. at Alive Hospice, featuring keynote speaker Dr. Richard Payne, professor of medicine and divinity at Duke Institute on care at end of life. This program is designed for faith leaders and individuals who desire to learn more about care at end of life. Registration ends August 31st. Details at 346-8418 or alivehospice.org.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and other puzzling questions.
Like what?
Like if I give out a puzzler in the forest and nobody hears it, is it still bogus?
I'm sure the answer is yes.
Well, I won't be giving out a puzzler this week, bogus or otherwise.
Oh!
As you, I'm sure, are aware, the puzzler is on vacation for a little while longer. But if you want to get puzzled, for every week that the puzzler is not here, we post a classic puzzler for you on our website.
Is that boguspuzzler.com?
Something like that. In the meantime, we'll take your car questions right now at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey there, guys. My name's Ralph from New York, Fort Washington, New York.
Where are you really from?
Yeah, well, originally from Australia, but I've
see, you know, you practically lost your accent.
But I've lost my accent. That's what you're going to say.
Yeah, you, no, I am a U.S. citizen, fellas.
You are?
Yep, I am.
Cool.
What's happening, man?
Mate, I got a 94 Plymouth Voyager that when you go around a corner, say you slow down, you take the corner. As you're going around the corner, you give the car a bit of juice. The door locks. Click, clack, the interior light goes on, off, and the bell goes ding, 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 primarily when it's hot.
When it's hot weather or when the engine's hot?
When it's hot weather. It does it, when you're driving along, it was really bad about a week and a half ago, it was almost doing it constantly. And I was going click, 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 ding, 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 on, off, on, off, on, off, on, off. It's not too bad during the day. I tell the wife that it's the car just saying, I love you, but she doesn't buy it.
And this has been going on for how long?
About a month, 2 months.
And is it more likely to happen on a right turn, left turn? Have you been able to discern that?
No, it doesn't make any difference. On a hot day, it'll do it when you go over a pothole.
Right. Because what's happening, I believe, is that one of your doors is beginning to open a little bit. Okay, one of the latches is misadjusted or worn out. And it's opening, closing, opening, closing, opening, closing, opening, closing, and you're getting ding, ba, boom, ba, boop, ba, boop, you're getting all the sounds and everything that would be associated with opening the door and then closing it again. So there's a switch, you know, in
but
that.
But it's curious that it's happening on both left and right turns.
Well, it might be more than one. It might be the tailgate.
It might. Ah.
Might be the tailgate that's doing
I
it.
I like the tailgate.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay.
It could be something as simple as that, and you may be able to reproduce it without even driving the vehicle. You may be able to reproduce it by grabbing a hold of the tailgate or, you know, kicking it. Or I'm sure you wanted to kick everything in this car one time or another.
Okay, I'll suss that out. Because I got on the electrical panel, the fuse panel underneath. Because the first thing I thought was bad ground or a loose wire, which in these things is sort of, which of the 100,000 wires is loose? So I went through and I whacked the back of the fuse panel that's underneath the wheel with a contact cleaner and had a good look around, couldn't find anything. But
well,
doors,
that
I
wasn't a bad idea, because this basically is the same as a loose wire. It happens to be a loose switch.
Right, and once you get above a certain speed, this has automatic door locks?
Yeah, but I hate those things. Every time it goes click, I was like, no, you don't, and I click it open.
And you, well, that's so. What started it. You shouldn't have fooled with that thing. You see that? I know. It is kind of annoying if you don't like to be told.
Yeah, I mean, it's a car. I'm the boss. It'll leave the doors unlocked because I say so, thank you.
Thank you.
Right,
so you're absolutely right.
So you unlock the door. You go around a turn. The thing's going, I think the door locks kick in at like 17 or 18 miles an hour or something like that. And so when you take that turn from a dead stop, you're going 8 miles an hour, and the doors try to lock, but the doors can't lock because the door is being opened by the faulty latch, and then it tries to close, and it tries to lock the door, and it's setting up this whole symphony for you.
I think
you got a, I think you got a bad latch.
Okay, I did have problems with the side door at one stage, so I gave it some lube, got in there with some WD-40, and it tends to behave again now.
Well, you've got a lot of doors, this thing. You know, you may want to just duct tape a couple of them shut.
Yeah, either that or it's like slam them 7 or 8 times. Sometimes, you know how people go through and actually, in order to slam the door, they push it out up against its springs to get that extra momentum and then really swing it in so the windows try and pop.
Yeah, Ralph, I can sense... There's a little hatred going on here. But there's something about this car that you detest.
Oh, yeah.
I got it for free. It had a little front end, or I dropped a radiator in it. And last year I had to do a transmission, so I didn't really want to take it to an auto-elect.
Yeah.
But, you know, you could take this to a body shop. You don't have to go to a regular. Once you've determined that it's one of the doors, you can do that yourself probably.
Take it to a body shop. Yeah, I would be all out of that like a rash.
Yeah, and they can either adjust the latch or replace it, and it's not going to be. And you can do the replacement yourself if need be.
Yeah, I can do all of that stuff. I just try not to.
I can see that. Well, stop slamming the doors. That ain't helping, I don't think. See you later, Ralph.
Catch you later. Jeez, thanks.
Good luck, man.
Oh, jeez. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name's Sam, and I'm calling from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Sam, as in Samantha?
It is.
Okay.
You know, I tried to name all my daughters Samantha.
And a couple of sons, too. They really fought. Anyway,
what's up?
What's going on?
Well, this is what's up. I live in Oregon, and in Oregon, you can't pump your own gas.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went to go get gas, and I paid the gentleman, and he came back and gave me my receipt and said, "Thank you, ma'am. Have a great day," and slapped the top of the car twice. So I started my car and drove off, but I disconnected the hose from the pump.
Oh, he didn't take the hose out of the filler neck.
Yes, I completely broke it. So I didn't hear anything, and then a week later, I got a phone call with a $900 bill. Yeah, and so my question is, does it actually cost $900 to fix those, and is it my fault if I haven't actually touched the hose?
I don't see how it's your fault. I mean, I did the same thing once.
Really?
What happened was... Yeah. I stopped for gas. It was dark. It was at night.
Was it a dark and stormy night?
It was dark and stormy night. I said to the guy, $10, and I gave it to him. And he went back there and started doing whatever the hell he was doing. And then he hits the back of the car. He goes, and I figure that means go ahead. He's done.
Right.
Sure. Yeah, and that's what you did too, right?
So I put it in drive. I pulled away. And what did I take with me?
The whole gas station.
The whole gas station. And he started yelling at me. And I said, "Hey, don't yell at me. You're the one who whacked me on the car. What else am I going to assume?"
I had the receipt. I figured transaction was done.
Yeah.
As long as you paid.
Yeah.
He was, because you can't pay unless he's finished pumping gas.
I even tipped him.
Yeah. Yeah. So what have you done with this?
So you paid cash?
Yeah, I paid cash.
You paid cash?
I gave him $20.
How much of a tip did you give him, Buck?
$2.
Yeah, I think you should tell him to rave on. I think they sent the letter to you figuring that anyone who tips is probably a nice person.
Well, they had it right, but unfortunately in this situation I'm acting a little bit differently.
Yeah, and I think they were just fishing.
Yeah,
I don't think they expect it. You got to send them a letter back. In fact, take their letter and write right over it. Are you serious? And say, "Don't get me mad or I'll get my lawyers on you." Did you go back to the scene of the crime to see all the wailing and gnashing of teeth? And what was? I mean, you better ripped out the restrooms, too, at the same time. You don't know what the heck you did, right?
Oh, man. I think they're just shooting in the dark here.
Exactly. They're taking a stab. They're saying, "This is a young woman who's, you know, seems like a nice gal. Let's send her a bill for $900 and see if we can get anything out." The truth of the matter is that they probably have insurance for this.
Sure.
Well, maybe they used to until they did it 5 or 6 times. And if they don't have insurance anymore, then they'll have to pay out of their own pockets.
Right.
And if they can get you to pay something, I think you should tell them, "Gee, nice try, guys, but drop dead.
If you want to play games, you could send them a dollar
and
yeah,
say,
there you go.
I'll send you another dollar every year for the next 899
Well, and remind them that you already had received, you paid the bill and you received your change.
Uh-huh.
And you gave the guy the tip and he tapped your car.
Yeah.
He just spaced out on it. I mean, everyone makes mistakes, but there's no reason that you should be asked to pay for their mistake.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. That's what
yeah.
I thought.
Unless you're lying to us, of course, and you drove off because you weren't paying attention, but I don't think that's the case.
No, actually, after it happened, I was completely shaking and freaking out.
Yeah.
Because I was, like, worried I could have blown up. I don't know. You're not supposed to start the car when someone's pumping gas.
So you then saw the hose detached from the pump.
I heard it immediately.
How many blocks did it take you before you stopped?
It took me like 10 feet. I didn't even get that far.
Yeah.
Like, I heard it.
Well, I mean, was there no damage done to your car? Didn't the filament get
this? No, there was no damage done to my car. I have a Volkswagen. It's really strong.
How about emotional damage here? I mean, you must have suffered some kind of emotional. This could have taken years off your life.
That's true.
Oh, right. You want to turn it around and have her sue them.
Exactly.
Fascinating.
Say, this took years off my life.
Yeah, I like it.
And there are those expensive years at the end, you know, like when you're in a wheelchair and drool on yourself. Those are like $150,000 a year years.
That's true.
You know, so tell them, all right, give me $450,000, I'll send you a check for $900, and we'll be square.
And we'll be square.
And I think they'll go away. Good luck, Sam.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You know, I imagine that more people who pump their own gas do this.
Yeah, I know.
Than you could ever imagine.
Yeah.
I think New Jersey has the same thing. You can't pump your own gas. I think that's good.
I think it is, too.
I avoid stations where you have to pump your own gas.
I try to, but there aren't many of them.
Yeah, in fact, I know you avoid stations all the time. Every time I get a car from you, it has no gas in it. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mike calling from Bozeman, Montana.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah.
What's going on in Bozeman?
My partner and I have a new-to-us 99 BMW 540i.
Uh-huh.
And we were driving down the interstate a while back, and for the heck of it, we were timing ourselves between mile markers.
Yeah.
And we determined, after lots of scientific analysis and a few arguments, that
I know what you're going to say, that the speedometer is off.
It's off exactly by 5.4%.
So it's telling you you're going 5.4% faster than you're really going.
Yes, sir.
That's been my observation, too, although I haven't done it scientifically or as scientifically as you and your partner did.
Well, he's a mechanical engineer, and I'm a laboratory supervisor, so between the two of us, we just analyzed this to death.
Yeah.
I commented that my previous car, a 99 Honda Accord, had been off by about the same amount. And he said that his 94 Jeep Cherokee and his big brother's 96 Mazda were off by about the same amount.
Well, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to slow down you Montanans. I think those mile marker things are closer to each other than a mile.
So I want to know, I got a couple of questions. One is what you ask, is this a conspiracy to make us drive 5.4% slower? Or, well, does this affect the odometer and make it read 5.4% too high, which would make us think we were getting better gas mileage and or make us trade in the car sooner?
Oh, boy, this is a real conspiracy theory.
Ooh.
Well, yeah.
The answer is yes, it will do that.
Well, okay. Oh. And is there a way to fix it?
Oh, I can see the movie now.
Yeah.
I can see Oliver Stone, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bozeman Conundrum. Well, I think all those things are at work. I think they're trying to make you think you're going faster than you are, and yet you're piling up miles, presumably faster than you really are.
How far are you from another state?
About 100 miles from Idaho.
Try it. Go to Idaho and do the same thing.
Well, you could, by the way, if you're really scientific, you could lay out your own mile markers.
Oh, so you're thinking the mile markers are...
They could be. You have to find out first if they're wrong. So
well, you're right.
So you're faulting BMW and Honda and all these other guys. But
they might not be it.
Yeah. You may have some guys putting the mile markers. I mean, I don't imagine that they assign that job to the brightest guys on the Department of Public Works payroll. Right? I mean, they must say, look at...
They may.
They may?
They may.
I don't think so. They say,
and
guys,
that might be the best they've got. I mean, what are the other guys doing? They're painting signs.
Well, they're painting lines on the road. Yeah, the fumes are getting them. Maybe these are the line painters. The fumes got to them, and then they got reassigned to putting the mile marker things up.
Well, to be scientifically valid, we'd have to go to several states and do this over a long period of time, many measurements.
Well,
I wonder if we can get a federal grant to do this.
Well, I think you need a grant, exactly. I think I'm sure there's some federal grant money available for this, but you could, if you really wanted to, you could lay out your own mile markers.
How?
Well, by getting a piece of string.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that could be done easily.
Right, and just keep measure. Just put one in the ground and then measure 5,280 feet.
That's hard.
Hey, that's how Columbus did it.
Well, I mean, you could do it.
Yeah, you could do it with a big long string.
Well, or short string a whole bunch of times.
You know what's going to happen? One of you is going to get run over doing this. Hit by a semi. What happened to Mike? You're not going to believe it.
Now, if we do this, do you want me to call you back?
Of course. Are you kidding me? Call us back. We're going to visit your website.
Okay.
But I've always felt that high-performance cars have cheated a little bit on the mile, on the speed. They always make you think you're going faster than you're going. But that's just I have no basis in fact for this, although I have checked a few casually with the mile markers and felt that they were off, but never as scientifically to go to a decimal point.
Well, that's a great psychological theory, because this is a car that'll blow your hair back sitting still. So.
That's right. And,
I know.
And if you think it's going blowing it back even farther, then you might buy another one when the time comes. Mike, I think you got to get right on this. Hang up. Don't tell anyone about it. It's just our little secret.
All right.
Apply for the grant.
Well, we need to go to Utah and visit the relatives, so that'll let us go through Idaho and Utah.
That's it. That's it.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for your call, Mike.
Wow.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
Well, it's happened again. You've defenestrated another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Pritchard. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Lincolnshire Open Fire Chicken Fryer, Fresh Papaya, and Stolichnaya Lose the Tire, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our beatnik philosopher is Harry Reasoner. Our staff orthopedist is Denise Hoyt. Our wardrobe advisor is Luke Howard Fitzhugh. Our PowerPoint producer is Boris Tadef. Our director of Puzzler Answer Gift Reception is Donatella Du Bois. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. And the head of our Working Mother Support Group, of course, is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the historic pothole preservationists as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1233, download some classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week, if you have a question that didn't get answered today, you can always check out our online Car Talk community. It's patrolled by helpful amateurs who often know the answers to people's car questions.
And what's the basic difference between them and us?
Like I said, they often know the answers to people's car questions.
Oh.
Check out the Car Talk community bulletin boards, always available at cartalk.com.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Esurance, providing 24/7 customer service and claims. Hey, I thought they were an online company.
They're both.
Oh, 24/7 and online. Sort of like you're my brother and you're also a pain in my butt.
Esurance.
And
the Poetry Foundation, celebrating 100 years of Poetry magazine. Online at poetryfoundation.org. And
WeatherTech,
maker of laser-measured all-weather floor liners to help protect a vehicle's floor.
Learn more at WeatherTech.com or 1-800-CARMATS.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though NPR's corporate bonds get downgraded from junk to jalopy status whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.